Marty Lurie here on Talking Baseball as we get ready for Giants baseball today, joined by the Giants first base coach, Antoine Richardson. And it's great to see you. It's nice to have you part of the show. We don't hear enough about you.
Thank you for having me, Marty. I look forward to today and sharing some of my story with you.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. And, of course, what I like to do, people just don't get here and become major leaguers. You're not just dropped here and say, okay, you're a major leaguer. Everybody comes from somewhere, and there's a baseball story, a love of baseball in there. Let's start with yours. Let's go back to the beginning in the Bahamas. And how do you enjoy baseball? How does it impact your life?
Wow. Back in the Bahamas. So originally the it was just a love for sports, right? I think I grew up in a sports family. My great-grandmother played tennis, was Davis Cup champion.
Really?
My mom ran track and field, so it kind of ran in the blood. And I grew up playing fast pitch softball.
Okay.
And you know, the story is I was cut from the team as a seventh grader. My mom worked my butt off for a year, able to make the team. And then eventually got an opportunity to play baseball in America. And ever since then, it was a choice between baseball and football. My mom just didn't want me to get slaughtered on the football field. So she's like, push me toward baseball. And, you know, it's been a unique journey with a lot of crazy opportunities. When I left the Bahamas, it was about getting a college education, which I was fortunate enough to get through baseball. But along that came an opportunity to play professional baseball, and now I have this amazing opportunity to coach in Major League Baseball.
Well, great story. Antoine Richardson with us, first base coach for the Giants. What is baseball like in the Bahamas? Now, I think back to Andre Rogers, of course, the cricket player, who was a shortstop for the Giants, and not many others that I remember. Was baseball a big deal there?
So growing up, it wasn't. It wasn't a big deal. So my start in baseball was a good friend of mine invited me out to a rec league back home. And this league was played on a farm. It was actually called Freedom Farm. I remember my first time going out. I was about 10 or 11. We had to shovel horse manure and cow manure off the field before we could play. But for me, it was just an opportunity to hang with my friends. And now, you know, this Freedom Farm has grown to a bigger league, and I think it has over 700 children. There are other leagues on the island now that are close to those in numbers. And so baseball has grown a lot. You know, I was the sixth guy to make it from the Bahamas to the major leagues. And when I made it, it was the first time, I think it was like 27 or 28 years since somebody had made the major leagues. And obviously now we have Jazz Chisholm, who was an all-star, and you know, that was history for us in the Bahamas, first Bahamian all-star player. We had another kid, Lucius Fox, who was actually signed by the Giants, who made his debut this year. And so baseball is growing. It's growing on the youth level. I think we have about 30 guys in minor league baseball. And so now it's a really popular sport in the Bahamas. But we're still in the stages of developing facilities and infrastructure down there to continue to allow the sport to thrive.
Boy, but you become a major leaguer. Come on. Now, it's an interesting story because coming out of American Heritage High School in South Florida, you have a chance to go to Brown in the Ivy League, and you're the salutatorian of your class, which I think is good, and you have a shot to go to Brown. What happens?
Yeah, so coming out of high school, I had an opportunity to go to Brown University, and I was going to go to Brown University to play football first and baseball second. You know, my love for baseball, and I think fear of getting hit in football kind of pushed me toward baseball a little bit. And then what happened was after my senior year, the Baltimore Orioles drafted me. And, you know, I just started to consider baseball a little bit more at that point in time. But at the same time, my grandmother, who I was really close with, she was a really big advocate for education. And so in my conversation with the scout, I was like, hey, I'm really interested in playing baseball, but I think I need to go. I still need to go to school. And at that time, he was able to get me into a junior college, where Palm Beach Community College, where two of my friends were already going, two of my childhood friends were going, and I was like, awesome. So I ended up going to Palm Beach Community College, and I spent 2 years there. Now, my teachers at American Heritage were not thrilled about my decision to turn down Brown University to go to a community college. But the saving grace is I ended up going to Vanderbilt after those 2 years of community college, and graduated with an engineering degree from Vanderbilt.
Wow.
And so that was awesome. And you know what? And I think the years at Palm Beach Community College with Coach Giroux, who taught me how to switch hit, and those invaluable lessons, I think, that you learn in these different communities and these different social settings, you know, I think helped on this journey to the major leagues. As much as I think Brown is an outstanding university, I wouldn't trade those years at Palm Beach Community College in terms of like how it cultivated me as a human being.
Well, boy, what a story. Interesting story. I'm glad we're talking about it. Antoine Richardson, first base coach for the Giants. My goodness, you ought to be running the ball club or something like that as the president. I mean, what a great background. But what kind of player were you? Were you a good hitter, an outfielder? Why did the scouts gravitate to you? What was your game?
So I would say the scouts would say it gravitated around my speed. I could run a little bit. But for me, it was just about competing. I think I was just a competitor. I didn't see myself as a good hitter. I didn't throw well. But I just found a way to compete every day. And I think, I hope that – I think my teammates would say, like, somebody that you wanted to go to battle with every day. But my calling card was my speed. I could run. It helped me on the bases. It helped me in the outfield. So that was the calling card.
Well, you get up to the big leagues, and with the Braves, you get up, of course, with the Braves, and your first hit is off number 22, right? He's going to be a Hall of Famer, Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, it was a pretty special moment. I remember September 4th, 2011, and I got to the field that day, and, you know, it was pretty cool. We're playing the Dodgers, and I want to say, like, this, he won the Cy Young this year in 11, and we were having a rough day with him at. And Freddie Gonzalez at the time was the manager, and you know, the pitcher spot was coming up. This is when pitchers still hit, and you know, he's like, "Hey, Richie, you know, you're gonna have this at bat." And it was just an exciting moment. I was thinking about bunting. That was what I wanted to do, because I wanted to use my speed. But I also thought my friends would laugh at me back home in the Bahamas. So I figured the next best thing was to close my eyes and swing at the first pitch. And I got lucky, and I hit a line drive to right field to get the first one in the books. And yeah, it was against Clayton Kershaw, which my mom has that baseball, and a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, very good. Well, you have a brief major league career. What's your favorite memory of the major league career? And of course, you were with the Braves, and then you moved on as well. Yeah. What's your favorite part?
That's a really interesting question. I think as a young man coming from the Bahamas and just reaching the major leagues was just something that wasn't something I couldn't think about or couldn't imagine, because I hadn't seen right. People like myself there. I've heard stories about it. And so it's really tough to give you one moment, because I think the whole entire time is something that I cherish and I don't take for granted. But with that being said, there were some unique moments in that short time, right? The first hit off of Clayton Kershaw, obviously scoring the game-winning run on Derek Jeter's last RBI at Yankee Stadium. But I would say, like, playing in New York was a very unique opportunity. I think, you know, the lights just were a little bit brighter there. Derek Jeter as a teammate was amazing, and I just think watching him go about his business on a daily basis was something that I really cherished. I think it's something that's helped me to help other players that I've come across from the Bahamas and some players here in the major leagues. And just the way he went about his business as a winner, you know, I think being able to learn from him and pass that information on to others is the thing that I cherish the most.
Well, after the major leagues, you do have jobs as an instructor, outfield instructor, different things for the Blue Jays as well. But now all of a sudden, you're on the major league staff. Now I understand why. This is why I like to do these things. You're on the major league staff of the San Francisco Giants. How does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. How does that happen? I guess it's just favor, you know. I think I've been fortunate enough to have some really cool opportunities come my way, just even being drafted to play professional baseball, right? I think the same thing all the time. But, you know, I got an opportunity to get back to the Giants in 2019 as a instructor in the minor league system. And shortly after that year was done, I actually went on an interview with the Miami Marlins for their first base coach job. And, you know, it just wasn't the right fit. So, I decided I wanted to return to the Giants. And at the same time, Kapler had just been hired as the manager for the San Francisco Giants, and a couple of weeks after I had decided to return and not take the job in Miami, Kaplan reached out and asked me if, you know, if I had any interest in doing it here with San Francisco. You know, and after talking to Kaplan and after talking to Kyle Haynes, our farm director, you know, just kind of trying to figure out, like, what do y'all think is the best thing for the organization? Is it, you know, is it to do this or that? And I was like, you know, my commitment is the San Francisco Giants, and I just want to be wherever it is that you feel is going to be the best benefit for the organization. I think collectively, you know, we thought that, you know, coming up here to the major leagues and helping out would be a good fit. And so we decided to do that, and it's been a tremendous opportunity. I've learned so much. I continue to learn, and it's been just an amazing journey.
Well, you know the game. That's why I enjoy doing these interviews, really learning, because I say you just don't get to the major leagues by accident, and you really have a great background to get to the major leagues. Now, the other thing is you're on TV more than anybody. More than anyone, because you're the first base coach, and anytime anyone gets to first, you've got something to say to them.
Yeah, I guess so. But that's a good thing, I guess. That means our guys getting on base a lot, right? But I think when those guys get over there, it's just, you know, just a reminder, trying to remind them of things they already know. I just do my best to be a nag to them, right? I hope by the end of it, they're like, oh, here goes Antoine again, because I'm just reminding them of their duties and their jobs and, like, how are we going to get around these bases? How are we going to score some runs?
Well, as I say, you're on TV a lot, and you were on TV the weekend in the Dodgers series a little bit, and I'll tell you just a very brief story. The great Leo DeRocher, I don't know if you remember him, managed the New York Giants, and in New York, and you know in New York, the Brooklyn people hated him. Well, his superstition was he would go out to the coaching box on third base and he'd rub out the line. So you couldn't even tell there was a coaching box. And, of course, the umpires went crazy and the fans went crazy. And now you get in the middle of some sort of controversy that says you got to stay in the box. What was that all about?
Well, first of all, I wish I had that story so I could erase the boxes in L.A. I think the Dodgers had made some complaints to the umpires about us as base coaches being in the box. And I think the umpires asked us to kind of stay in the box, and we had to try to find out what the rules were, what the box looks like. But typically, myself and Mark, we like to move around a little bit and be active. And I think that might have made the Dodgers feel a little bit uncomfortable, and so they kind of wanted to kind of, like, you know, keep us isolated a little bit, I don't know, in a small space. But after it's all said and done, by the end of the series, we were given the liberty to move around a little bit more within the rules, which states, you know, you can't move closer to the home plate and you can't move closer to the foul line. And so I would say we ended up getting it right when it was all said and done.
Okay. Yeah, you don't want to be stealing signs. That's what they're afraid of. Everyone's crazy about stealing signs. One last question for you. There's so many different ballparks. You're the outfield coach, and you watch balls go off the walls and go this way and that way. And old Carl Furillo of the Brooklyn Dodgers, someone said, Carl, how do you play the wall in Ebbets Field? Because it was almost like cement on the bottom. And he says, I blanking practice. That's how. So my question to you is, with all these different ballparks, do you take your outfielders out and work the walls and how the ball can come off a wall?
So usually what we like to do every time we get to a new field is we try to hit some balls off of the wall. So Kai will do a good job when we throw to the bases every time we get to a new park, and he'll do a good job of hitting balls in different angles and crevices just to see how the ball comes off it. And usually our guys make sure to get out on that field the first day of the series and navigate the field to see exactly what things look like. So to your point, I think it is practice. It's getting out there, seeing how these things go. And our players do a really good job of getting out there and preparing themselves for whatever's going to happen in the game.
Yeah, because those bricks in right field, who knows what's going to happen? Ichiro will tell you that. He got an inside the park home run off those bricks.
Yeah, it can get a little tricky there in Oracle. So, but you know what? I think we have a good group that support each other, and they're usually backing up each other. And everyone's out there, man. They're working their backsides off, man, to be bad every day. And so hopefully we just continue to trend in a good direction.
All right. Antoine Richardson, great to have you on the show. And I'm putting you up for an Emmy. You're on TV enough. I'm nominating you for an Emmy.
Oh, man. Well, I appreciate that, man. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and look forward to doing it again soon.
All right. That's Antoine Richardson, first base coach. You just don't get to the major leagues by accident. All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.